Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the day of Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of John. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In the name of Jesus. Today is a big day. It's a big day in regard to the church as a whole. It's Pentecost. It's the day in which the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, bursts out of their hearts like flowing rivers of living waters. And then they were given that gift to speak in tongues, in different languages. All of this happened so that people from every tribe, nation, and language could hear the proclamation of a crucified and risen Christ for them. It is indeed a wonderful gift, and it's given to the church. And it's that gift that's enabled all of us, each and every single one of us, to be here today. For on that first Pentecost, that first day of Pentecost, the church exploded. The gospel was proclaimed to the multitudes, and no longer was there any barrier of language to keep that from happening. And where the word of God is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is at work. That is the promise that we have from our Heavenly Father. That's the promise that was sealed by the blood of Christ and his cross. Salvation in Jesus would be preached to all the ends of the earth, and the victory of the cross would be given in time and space through word and water, bread and wine. It's also a big day for the saints here at Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran Church, particularly for Henry and Nazareth, our two catechumens. Now, to be certain, the Lutheran Church does not view confirmation as a sacrament like the Roman Catholics do or the Eastern Orthodox. The grace of our Lord, the forgiveness of sins, isn't delivered in this human rite that we're about to perform. But that doesn't mean that something important isn't happening here today. For it is on this day that these two young men will stand before God and man and publicly proclaim the faith that has already been given to them and placed upon them in their baptism. It is then in this way that confirmation is not to be seen as a graduation, but instead as a celebration as God continues his work of creating and sustaining faith in them. For faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's a gift that is given and worked by the Holy Spirit as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies in the one true faith. Henry and Nazareth, this work began in you on the day of your baptism. It has been continued in you through the diligent guidance of your parents as they brought you up in the word of the Lord. It's been instilled in you in your education. It's been spoken to you. We've discussed all about this through our time in catechesis class. And it will be continually proclaimed to you and given to you as you are kept in the holy ark of the Christian church, in the one true faith, through the continual work of the Holy Spirit. It's him that will strengthen you and keep you steadfast through the preaching of the word. And yes, today, in the reception of Christ, his body and his blood, given and shed for you. For our large catechism teaches us that one is prepared to partake of Holy Communion once one has been taught the basics, the foundations of the faith, who God is and what God has done and continues to do for you. And so, Henry and Nazareth, you've learned the Ten Commandments, their meaning, the Creed, its meaning, the Lord's Prayer, why we pray it, and what exactly we are asking God to give us. You've been catechized in what it is you received in your baptism, and how that continues with you all the days of your life. You know the gift of confession and absolution, that you get to hear with your very own ears that each and every single one of your sins is forgiven for the sake of Christ. And finally, how this Holy Supper here of Christ's body and blood unites him with you, you with him, and you with all those who kneel down next to you, and all those who make up the body of Christ. through the teaching of the blessed apostles that began so many Pentecosts ago. Henry of Nazareth, in only a few short moments, you're going to stand up here and publicly confess that you believe what this congregation believes. And then this congregation is going to hear that declaration and in turn say with joy and thanksgiving, Amen. Thanks be to God that He has done this for you. Today is a blessed and joyous day. And because of the importance of this day, we dare not take the focus off of the one who makes all of this possible. For even though today is most certainly special to both of you, as you sit apart here from the rest of the congregation, all robed up with white gowns, symbolizing your baptism, getting ready to confess the faith and receive the Lord's body and blood for the very first time, today, oddly enough, isn't about you. Today is, like every single Lord's Day always is, about Jesus for you. That's something that will never change. Jesus, always for you. And so it is then that we get to hear our Lord speak in our gospel reading of John this morning. Our text tells us that it's the last day. It's the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was that time in which all of Israel would make their way to Jerusalem in order to celebrate and commemorate the way in which God provided for His children during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness so very long ago. It was a joyous celebration combining thanksgiving for the end of the harvest along with thanksgiving that God continually provides for us everything that we need to support this body and life. On the last day of the feast, and remember, that's the day that this is all happening, the whole assembly would gather together at the temple. The priests, they would process from the temple down to the pool of Siloam. And if you remember, Jesus is later going to heal that man born blind down there at the pool of Siloam. And it's there that the priests are going to take a golden flagon and fill it up with water. This flagon, this golden pitcher, was going to be carried back then to the temple through the water gate and into the inner courts. And at that point, we've got a whole choir of Levites singing Psalms 113 through 118 while the priests process and walk around the altar. And as all of that's happening, the pilgrims, all of us who were following in their train, would shake our branches and our palm leaves, one specifically designated for that day. And then the priests are going to take that water, combine it with wine, and they're going to pour it on the altar. During this celebration, the water taken from that pool of Siloam, poured upon the altar, pointed to three important water events. And this, the whole assembly would have known. The first was the waters of creation. The second was the waters that poured forth from that rock out there in the wilderness when all of the Israelites were scared to death that they were going to die of thirst in the desert. And then the last one was the waters that Zechariah the prophet prophesies is going to flow out of Jerusalem on the last and final day. So this particular feast was a feast in which all of God's children remembered how it is that their heavenly Father created them and all things out of nothing except for His Word, how the heavenly Father promised to and continually does supply for them and support them everything that they need in this earthly life, and then finally the promise of that last and final day when God will make everything good once again and bring about that new creation free from sin and death and suffering and despair. And so it's in the middle of this context that Jesus stands up right there in the middle of the temple during that feast, and He cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink." That's not just some random saying that Jesus picks out of thin air. This is Jesus, knowing full well what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about because He's the one who established it. Knowing full well the significance of that water drawn from the pool and poured upon the altar. In the midst of all of that, Jesus declares with that loud cry, all of what you're doing points to me. You've been eagerly awaiting in anticipation that day in which God brings to fruition everything that he promised. Well, today is that day. I'm the word that spoke out over the waters of creation and brought into being everything that you see and smell and taste and hear and touch and know. I'm the one who made water gush out of the rock in the middle of the desert, assuring your forefathers and you that I will always support you in everything that you need, in all of your ways. And I'm the one who will bring an end to this fallen world and make everything new again. Everything sad will become untrue, because everything sad will be undone in my cross. Now that is a bold statement. A bold one to be sure, but it's one that you, all of you, can have full confidence in. Each and every single one of you. And you need to look no further than the cross of Christ right there. For just as water and wine was poured out of a sacrificial vessel upon the altar during the Feast of Tabernacles, so too did water and wine-red blood pour out of a sacrificial vessel of Jesus upon the altar of the cross on that great Good Friday. And so picture this, if your mind can fathom it, from the cross, from the pierced side of your beloved Savior, flows your life and your salvation straight into that baptismal font right there, and directly into the chalice on that altar right there. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are thirsty, and we all know that you are, how could you not be in this fallen world in which we live? How could you not be thirsty as the sin of your life and the sin of other people's lives continually dry your throats and parch your lips? How could you not be thirsty when the weight of this world is upon you, the shame and the guilt, the inevitable march towards death, the continuous lies and the assaults of the devil dries you up like a potsherd and wicks you away to the bone? If this is you, and we all know that it's you because it's all of us, then come to this Jesus, this crucified Christ, this God in the flesh Messiah, and drink. Drink deep. Drink long. For he has promised to you that in him is your eternal life and salvation from everything that threatens to destroy you. This life thing in which we're living, I know it can be a slog, a crawling through on bended knees, a never-ending struggle with one enemy and then the next. And your Lord knows this too. It's why he's come and he's already defeated all things. And your Lord knows that the victory that he won on the cross, it can't just stay there. It has to come to you in very real and tangible ways, because that's how your very real and tangible body deals with stuff, good stuff and evil stuff. And that's why Jesus promised his apostles the Holy Spirit. That's why the Lord made certain that Pentecost was a reality. That's why God ordained and instituted the church so that you could hear with your very own ears, in your very own language, that you're forgiven and be wedded on your very own foreheads, that you might be forever clean and righteous, and taste and see that your Lord is indeed good with your very own tongues. Pentecost is about all of those things, and it's about all of those things for you, which is why you're here, to receive Christ and his cross through the working of the Holy Spirit, which began on that day of Pentecost 2,000 plus years ago. And Henry and Nazareth, that's why you've been catechized in the one true faith, the beginning of your instruction, which shall continue until that day in which the Lord makes all things new again. And that's why it is today that you will have confessed that faith the faith that began in you. And you'll come up to this altar and you'll receive for the first time among many the seal and the promise, the token and the sure testament that Jesus is today and for always for you. Henry and Nazareth, brothers and sisters in Christ, are you thirsty? I bet you are. Then come and drink Jesus, who's poured out for you. In the name of Jesus.